Should we trust AI when our health is on the line? From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Megan McCarty-Carino. There's a lot of excitement about how artificial intelligence is transforming healthcare, from diagnosing diseases to creating personalized treatment plans. But just because AI can do something doesn't always mean it's better, says Meredith Broussard. She's a journalism professor at NYU, and her latest book, More Than a Glitch, came out last month. Yesterday, we featured part one of our discussion about how AI can magnify social harms. Today, we continue that conversation about what it means to entrust machines with our health, part of a broader tendency Broussard calls techno-chauvinism.
Techno-chauvinism is a kind of bias that says that technology or technological solutions are superior to others. People will say things like, oh, we should use an algorithm to decide who gets a kidney transplant because the algorithm will make an objective evaluation of who is most worthy of a donor organ. Well, for many years, that algorithm was biased against Black people because of a racist assumption about Black bodies. That racist assumption got embedded in the math that was then used in every medical lab.
What would it look like to create an AI system without bias? Is it possible?
I think it brings us back to this idea of how good is the data that we're using to feed an AI system in the first place. People often will look at something like a mortgage approval algorithm that is biased and say, well, let's just put in better data. So, for example, there was an investigation in the markup recently where they looked at mortgage approval algorithms and found that these automated systems were 40 to 80% more likely to turn down a borrower of color than their white counterpart. And why is this? Well, it's because the mortgage approval algorithm was fed with data about who had gotten mortgages in the past. Well, in the U.S., there's a long history of financial discrimination. There's a long history of redlining, of residential segregation. So it's unsurprising that the mortgage approval algorithms are biased against people of color. People say, oh, yeah, well, we can just make the mortgage approval algorithm better by putting in better data. And that is absolutely true, mathematically speaking. But there is no such thing as better data, because we don't live in a perfect world. So we need to improve the world in order to improve the algorithm. And we need to not pretend that the algorithm is going to be better than what we have now.
You write about some of the many ways that artificial intelligence algorithms have kind of become embedded into policing, criminal justice, education. It almost seems like the more complex the problem, the more likely we are to turn to technology to try to solve it. I mean, what's problematic about that approach?
One of the ways I like to think about it is I like to divide it into easy problems and hard problems. And we're at this really interesting point right now where all of the problems that are easy to solve with technology have actually been solved, right? And so we're only left with hard problems. And social problems have been going on for a really long time. And so the idea that there would be an easy technological fix for them is a techno-chauvinist notion. You can't take something like allocating public benefits and expect that you're going to just write some code and fix the problem. And in fact, code isn't actually the solution in a lot of cases. So for example, the problem of people being unhoused, like we don't need more code for that. We need houses for people.
You write a lot about the use of AI in medicine, and this is something that you have some personal experience with.
I had breast cancer during the pandemic, and one day I was poking around in my online medical chart, and I noticed a note that said an AI has read your scans. And I thought, oh, that's really weird. Why did an AI read the scans? What did it find? And after I recovered, I was still really curious. And so I went on this journey of discovery where I took my own mammograms and I ran them through an open source AI in order to find out if that AI would detect my cancer, but also to write about the state of the art in AI-based cancer detection.
This provides a really interesting illustration, I think, of the differences in how human brains work and how AI works. I mean, how are these processes different? And what do those differences tell us?
The state of the art in AI-based cancer detection is not nearly as advanced as you might expect from media coverage and from Hollywood. And I should say that this AI that I used did detect my cancer. But it did not do it in exactly the way that I expected. It's not going in and saying, oh, I think you have blah, blah, blah kind of cancer. It's just drawing a red box. And the red box is an area that it has identified that the doctor, the human doctor, should follow up on. So I think in general, we are pretty far from autonomous cancer diagnostic systems. It's really still a human in the loop process. So I'm optimistic about the possibilities for AI assisting doctors in the future, but I am not optimistic about this kind of shiny future where AI replaces doctors. I don't think that's realistic.
Meredith Broussard's book is called More Than a Glitch: Confronting Race, Gender, and Ability Bias in Tech. We've got more from Meredith Broussard and some of our past coverage of bias in AI on our website, marketplacetech.org, including a link to an excerpt of that chapter from Meredith's book about her odyssey to understand her own breast cancer diagnosis and the role that AI played. In her book, Meredith also writes about the research conducted by one of the most prominent voices speaking out about biased algorithms. Joy Boulamwini is the founder of the Algorithmic Justice League and the subject of a documentary now available on Netflix called Coded Bias. She spoke to Marketplace Tech a couple of years ago about the research that put her in the spotlight when she uncovered large racial and gender bias in facial recognition technology. Her study found the tech misidentified dark-skinned women more than a third of the time, while with light-skinned men, its error rate was less than 1%. Rosie Hughes produced this episode. I'm Megan McCarty-Carino, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.